Hey friends, I'm Naomi, and I'm glad to have you here listening to A Creative Purpose. This space is here to encourage and support creatives bring their ideas to life. I believe we each have our own brilliance to share with the world, and when we lean into that, we have opportunities to live an adventurous life. I have some great conversations with other creatives where they share their journey and the lessons learned along the way. I'll also share my story and what I've learned and am learning on this beautiful, sometimes difficult road to living a life I love. Welcome back. And today I have Adi with me, and I'm so excited to have this conversation with her. We've just been chatting a little bit, and so we're going to push record and get it going. So welcome, Adi. Can you tell us where you're at in the world and what you do?
Yeah, sure. Of course. And thank you for the opportunity. So I am at the moment based in Israel, in the center of Israel, very close to Tel Aviv. I was living in Thailand for 11 years, which is where we know each other from. And I moved back home to where I grew up, literally to the home that I grew up in as a kid, a bit more than a year ago. So I've been going through a lot of transitions and a lot of adjustments. And it's been a crazy roller coaster, but incredible, an incredible roller coaster. So that's where I am. And in terms of what I do, I'll try to make it a short version, but I quit a business career, a very kind of successful senior business career as an executive director of a company, which I helped build from scratch in Asia, which is now NASDAQ traded. And kind of, we were two employees, me and the VP who came to Thailand to start the company in Asia. It was already existing in Western countries. So I was the second person to join. We were two people, and after 6 years, we were 200. So that's kind of, I would say that's also probably the rate and speed that we were going at, like from 2 to 200. That's kind of how our life looked like. So I left that career a couple of years ago, and actually pursued a career of coaching. And this is really interesting the way that it happened. It happened when I was kind of getting really confused about where I am and what my priorities are, started feeling a little bit unwell physically as well. So kind of my body was telling me that I'm not in the right place anymore, and my priorities shifted. And when that happened, I took a coach for the first time in my life. So this is like 4 years ago or so. That's the first time I kind of got to know coaching for real in person, because I had lots of friends who were life coaches, but I never really got into what this is, what this profession is about. When I took that life coach, who was this amazing lady who lived in Asia as well, and kind of really had to reinvent herself all the time being a trailing spouse, and became a coach herself. And I was really inspired with her story, and I really fell in love with what she does with me. And she really made me see who I am in different eyes, like my passion, my purpose, and all of that, my goals, my values, everything. And it became like this amazing picture in my imagination, which was who I am, who am I going to be, and where it's going to be as well. So this whole picture was about also becoming a coach, moving back to Israel, setting up a digital career so that I can work from anywhere with anywhere, because I was so in love with Asia, always have been. And I wanted to keep that connection with my Asian, roots. And so I really started kind of painting that picture for myself. And this is where I am. I work with lots of business people, with lots of women in business, in different kind of management positions. I work with teams, with groups, like just to name a few. I work with Dell, with EA, with lots of different companies in the world, startups from here to there. And it's really beautiful, from life coaching to business coaching to group coaching, facilitation of content, which is so meaningful, like finding your purpose at the workplace, like work-life balance, like your personal brand and communication, giving and receiving feedback. So these are all different kinds of topics and a lot of emotional intelligence work that I do, because of some courses that I took, which are super, super interesting as well. So that's a short, long version of who I am and what I do.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I loved how you said you're painting your picture. So it's like you're here now, but you're also continuing to paint it out and expand and grow. And so I also know that you do some other things, like I know you use essential oils and stuff like that. So would you consider yourself kind of a multi-passionate kind of person that is trying to build out this painting with a lot of different, I don't know, what do we call them?
Colors.
Mediums and colors. Yeah. Like what else brings you joy in life?
Yeah. That you're putting into thank that? You. Thank you for asking. That's amazing that you're asking, because see how I always go to the more realistic kind of scientific side of things, saying I'm a coach and I work with business people, but actually you're so right. First of all, I believe very, very much in multiple streams and multiple careers. I think this is where the world is going, so and so more. And it just happened to me, because when I started this transition and transformation for myself, I became sick. I got an autoimmune disorder, disease, you know, everyone calls it a disease. I don't like that word, but you can say this is what happens. The body becomes in disease. So this all happened like 4 years ago, and this autoimmune situation taught me so much about myself. And with that, I became aware of yoga, which really, really became a part of my life. And to say even more seriously, saved my life in a sense. And I became aware of essential oils, and I became aware of meditation, and I became aware of sound healing. And these became my go-tos for everyday healing and everyday immunity. And that's when I kind of knew that the way that I'm healing myself and the way that I'm supporting myself and making myself a happy and healthy person on a day-to-day basis, this is how I want to reach and help others and support others to become healthier and happier people. So it's a huge, huge thing for me. Recently, more and more, I've been working with my clients along with these supporting techniques. So, for example, I work a lot on Zoom, so it's not always possible, but when people come over to my space, I will always have essential oils in the background, and they will always ask and maybe take something home, and I will always prepare some kind of blend for them, which might be for developing some kind of courage or hope or joy. So I love doing that. And my Tibetan bowls, which I play, and I learned the foundations of sound healing with an expert in the field in Thailand, which also gave me those incredible bowls from India. And I will use this in my coaching sessions. So either in the beginning or at the end, and my coaching client will be like, you know, impacted in an unbelievable deep way. Because what happens is you get so quickly and deeply into your soul and yourself in a way that you cannot explain in words. This is like the quickest and easiest access to your parasympathetic nervous system, which is where you create, which is where you, you know, the rest and digest system. Unlike the nervous system, the sympathetic nervous system, which is where you fight, flight, freeze, which is what we mostly do most of our life and most of our day. So when you meditate, when you yoga, when you smell a good essential oil, when you hear a sound of a Tibetan bowl, singing bowl, whatever it is that you do, these help you really quickly access your deepest creation and creativity modes. And then they come out of a session and they have it kind of all figured out, right? So they come with questions and they find answers within themselves. Sometimes it's not even able to describe in words. They just come out with the answers. So it's so interesting. And what happened recently is that I had this calling. I seriously had a calling. I went to a workshop. That workshop was dancing and sound healing and yoga all together, a couple of hours workshop. And during that sound healing session, which I also love practicing, the reason I learned it is because I was so addicted to it that I wanted to know how to do this for myself as well. I went to this sound healing workshop, and during the specific session of the sound healing, I had a vision. And the vision was that I have to start doing these workshops too with my gifts. And my gifts are coaching, self-development, essential oils, and sound healing. So then I said, that's it. Like, I came out of that workshop and I knew I have to do it. And the first workshop came to life 2 weeks afterwards, and it was a huge success. So then, because it was so much fun, I was in tears with joy of fulfillment. Like, I felt like this is, you know, the highest sense of my element, of my fulfillment. And sorry, my phone was not on a silent mode. So surprisingly. It's like a first time ever. Never happens to me. It was such a huge fun and success for me that I did it again just after a couple of weeks. And this Friday morning, I had a special event, a birthday booked for a 70-year-old lady, like an incredible, successful lawyer. Like, it's really unbelievable. She invited her friends and some people, and I had a group of 8 women, including myself, here in my home. This is all I do in my home. And I want to mention that because I feel the energy of this home, and this home is where I grew up. So something in the energy of this home is giving me some kind of a rooted feeling, which is enormously empowering. And that's what brings me into this creative mode again and again. And so I did this workshop for them, and it was so interesting to see the 70-year-old women. Some of them were pausing for the first time in their lives and asking themselves some questions of what they really want, or how they really want to be living their lives moving forward. And it was a real, really humbly, I felt such a privilege to be able to do this for them and be there with them, to see them transform in a couple of hours and have all these kind of thoughts of what else, right? Like, imagine when you're 70, you get into this thinking of what else is possible, what else is available, or, you know, do I really want to keep doing what I'm doing? And one of the things that I told them, so we did like the workshop, we talked, we shared ideas. I explained a lot of things about aromatherapy, about sound healing, and so on and so forth. And then when we came into the meditation with the bowls, I said, usually with my clients, I will do a guided visualization. And the guided visualization will be, because my clients will usually be around their 30s and 40s, and I will usually take them to their 70s. And I will ask them, when you're 70 and you're celebrating your 70th birthday and you have a party and people are coming over to celebrate with you and you're in your favorite place with your favorite people in the world, what are they thanking you for? And what are they appreciating you for? And what are they acknowledging you for? And this is a really powerful visualization. That's my favorite one out of a lot that I've learned and done. And so I always come back to that one. So what I did with these ladies who are 70 years old, I told them, this is the visualization that I usually do. And I feel so grateful to be able to be with you at your 70s and ask you, how do you feel about your life? And what would you like to say to that 40-year-old you to make peace with it, or to, you know, reconcile with it, or to reconnect with that 30, 40-year-old you who is still struggling and building their life and trying to make everything happen and hopefully thinking everything is possible. So that was a really, really interesting perspective. Super, super inspiring.
Yeah, I could see that really being an impactful exercise for them, just to be still and think about those things, because, you know, we're all just going and going and going, but do we take the time to just be still and reflect? And so, yeah, that's pretty powerful. I love those too. I'm always like, let's look back, you know, start with the end in mind. And what are you working towards? And yes, that might shift and change along the way, but it's still kind of a big picture that you have. So when you were in your high stress job, not feeling good, is that what you kind of inspired you to help other people in this business realm to kind of maybe see things differently in the business world? Or what motivates you to, you know, coach and show up for them, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything that you mentioned and a lot more as well. Like, we spoke a little bit before we started recording, and I said that something that I really love is when people actually don't quit their jobs or run away from their old life to build a new life, but actually find the way to be in fulfillment and find joy in their old life in a way that they didn't really know how to do before. So I think that a lot of what I love to do is teach and support and guide and mentor and coach people to find the way of living positively, the same life, the same day to day, but living it mindfully and positively, because of the emotional intelligence piece that I've learned, and because of how I am healing myself for years with gratitude and with mindfulness and with breathing and with all of that. This is, I guess, kind of what I feel are my gifts to give to the world, to teach mm-hmm. people. And it amazes me every time, again and again, how much people are disconnected from that. Even that group of 70 years old. Wow. First time they ever heard a Tibetan bowl. First time they ever meditated, most of them. And so some of them, it was scary for them. Some of them, it made their heart beat really, really fast. And of course, if you never pause and connect and be with your being and with your, let's say, even your dark side, then it might be really, really scary. But when we avoid those things, they haunt us, right? What we can't be with haunts us in a way. So I think that it's also about allowing people to be with whatever it is that they need to be. Also something that I really try and teach people around me, like even family members, just like how emotions are okay and how we don't really allow all sorts of emotions. Like, we're born, we're educated, we're taught to be happy and pleased and all of that. But what happens if you're not? And what happens if you're angry? And it's a tough one, right? So, yeah. So learning to live with emotions, learning to be grateful, understanding that happiness is not about being happy. Happiness is about everything that is in it, but learning to practice, always coming back to presence, to gratefulness, to finding the positive in every situation, even when it's hard. So that I did not really have when I was in my crazy, busy, chaotic business life. Mm-hmm. So before I became a life coach, I was working around the clock. And I was living kind of, I would say, on the surface and on paper, it was a really good life. But it wasn't going anywhere deep, really, not really. Mm-hmm. And no one ever guided me or taught me or supported me on how to manage my emotions, my fears, my, you know, balance my life. No one ever helped me kind of look at things in a different way, like find perspectives to situations. And I think that this is what really inspires me, to be able to do that with people who are in similar positions as I used to be. I think I love working with anyone. I'm not looking for certain types of roles or management or whatever. So I think I attract lots of different people into my life. I work with musicians. I work with single moms. Like, I have different kinds of groups of people who I work with. But because of my background, a lot of business people get, you know, find me or choose to work with me. So that's pretty fun, because it allows me to be that for them that I never had for myself. Mm-hmm. And the same for students. I work with students in universities in Israel and in India. And in that, I also feel like I am being that for them that I never had for myself. I mean, you know, you're born, you have some kind of a life planned out for you by the book. You're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that, and you're supposed to graduate, you're supposed to go to high school and then university and then this and then that, and, you know, get married and have kids and all of that. But actually, you know, who said there's anything that has to be by any kind of book? So even as a child, I mean, as a young lady in my 20s, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I wanted to be an actor, actress.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to study acting. This is where I started, actually.
That's so interesting, yeah.
And, you know, no one ever showed me a way, you know, to look at things with purpose, with passion, with I don't know, this idea of what we really want, who we really are, what are. But, you know, it's hard for me to say that looking back, because I guess that everything I did was for a reason. Mm-hmm. Everything I did has something to do with who I am today. So I am not, you know, I'm not regretting anything. And, you know, my parents did their best in kind of giving me the support that they could, the advice that they could. But in terms of, you know, some kind of mentoring or life coaching in that sense, I wish I had that during my life.
Yeah. Well, and it's always interesting to look back, like, you know, the younger generation with Instagram and just more information available to them. I do think some, right, if they take it on, are more in tune to different things and really not playing by the blueprint anymore, so to say, and really just leaning into like, yeah, let's try this, let's go. And I love that kind of curiosity and that bravery to just try and know that it's not going to be whatever, you know, it could not turn out terrible. But then it's like you just pick yourself up and try something else again. And so that's what I do appreciate about the younger generation. I think hopefully things are changing. And like us, you know, a certain age that we've learned things too that we can help people of any age figure it out, you know, if we're open and willing to do that. So what have you learned in this transitional season of really stepping into letting go of the old, so to say, and stepping into like building this business and building this coaching practice and, you know, getting inspired by these different ideas and just going for it? Like, is that just part of your personality to go for it? Or have you, I don't know, had some apprehension sometimes stepping into this new role? Or what has that transition look like for you, I guess?
Yeah, thank you for your incredible questions, making me think about how on earth am I actually making this happen. I think that I've always been a very proactive and interactive person, so it probably was always very easy for me to connect with people. I'm very much a people's person, and I think that even when I was in my business career, what I liked the most about being a manager was taking care of people and mentoring people and kind of being a role model for people. So I think that was always the easiest part for me. And luckily, I was in advertising, marketing, and digital world. So from that, I have a lot of knowledge of, content and writing and marketing and all of that. So I think that is helpful, because I think a lot of coaches will give up on a coaching career when they don't really know how to build a business. And yeah. For me, coming from there, it's almost like when I realized I want to be a coach, I was like, okay, I know how to build this, but I need the skills and the profession and the credentials. So I went and did what I found to be the most kind of prestigious, well-known school that I found for coaching, which is CTI, the Coaching Training Institute, Coactive Training Institute, which exists in over 50 countries and produces thousands of coaches a year in the world. And I knew I had to do this in a very, very kind of prestige credential, because I knew how many coaches there are in the world who might have kind of done this like 1 or 2 day course, and then they call themselves a coach. And I was kind of scared of that. Like, I was scared of the image of calling yourself a coach. So I knew if I want to go and do that, I have to do like learn from the best. Become the best, learn from the best. And so this is, this is how I created the whole thing. And I wanted to say it takes a lot of courage. In my 40s, with a family moving countries, starting from scratch. And when we were in our 30s and we moved to Thailand, we were a lot braver. And we had a lot less to lose, in a sense, because we were much younger and with just one kid at the time when we moved to Thailand. And we came back to Israel with 3 kids and, a lot of obviously, like, the world becomes more and more expensive to live in, and Israel became a lot more expensive to live in. So there was a lot at risk. And so you need a lot of courage. I needed a lot of courage to pursue and to keep on building myself. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm answering the question in the sense of maybe the main things here are me being very proactive and extrovert, like very communicative, open, super, super authentic, vulnerable. Sharing my vulnerabilities, sharing my, feelings, challenges, everything. And knowing kind of the background, like having a business background, and being very courageous, just trying different things, knowing it's okay to try, to fail, to fall, to get up, knowing it's okay. And that's, I think I always knew that. That's something I always knew, that it's okay to fail. And I'm really, really trying to teach that to my kids as well. Mm. That it's okay to fail, and they can do anything they want in the world, and they can be whoever they want in the world. And I'm really trying, it's not easy, because then eventually you always come back to different kinds of patterns and society drives a lot of the things to become exactly the same as they were for us. But everything is just hard work to always come back to remembering what is really important. And it's always, eventually, it's always happiness and health. That's it. Happiness and health.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's, you know, you talked about working with a coach. And so you had that clear vision of where you were going, and then that bravery and that courage to take those bold steps to make that happen. And so that's where I think our work comes in, you know, me loving to work with people on purpose and transitioning to what that looks like. I think sometimes we can get caught up in thinking we have to do something because it's like the it thing to do right now, without really thinking through what that means for us. Does it fit our skill set? Does it fit our interests? Does it fit our experience? Does it fit like all these different things? And so taking that time to get clear on that, I'm sure helps you push through on those harder days when you are trying something new or when things aren't going as planned and stuff.
Yeah. That's such a good point that you're mentioning here, Naomi, because, I always have a coach since my transition, since my transformation. I have always had a coach for the last 4 years. And even though I changed like different coaches for different periods of times, you know, according to whatever it is that I needed, I always know I want that someone to be there for me, to hold me accountable, to see the bigger vision of who I am, who knows what I really care about, who knows what is really important to me, and they will cut the bullshit, and they will know that I will need them to cut my bullshit if I need that. So when I hire a coach, so one of the most beautiful things when you start a coaching relationship is to, of course, talk about what is it that you really want from your coach, right? And when I hire a coach, I will always mention that I want you to be able to call me out if I'm not going in the direction that I visioned and imagined myself to be going. And of course, it's still flexible, right? Like, let's say, for example, 6-7 months ago, I did this incredible one-day workshop for senior managers in Asia, emotional intelligence between managers. And it was incredible. I was in Thailand. I did that as a part of the retreat in Phuket. And I loved every minute of it. And I was so fulfilled and I was so happy. And if you asked me back then what I want to be doing 6 months from now, it would be more and more and more of that. I want to meet more organizations, more people, and more teams that I can help become better people for their organization, for their employees, and for their lives. But look at me now. That is not where I am. I have suddenly discovered this incredible world of workshops, which is so different. This is like the moms from the neighborhood. This is a 70-year-old women's birthday group of women, and this and that. And so I'm also allowing myself a lot of flexibility with what I do, but it's about asking and feeling into loving what you do and knowing that it's on some kind of track and some kind of a journey, you know, with your purpose and with your whatever it is that you actually came to the world to do.
Yeah. I love that. And that's the thing. It's for a season, right? I'm just doing this, focusing on this. Sometimes you have something building in the back that takes time to build out. And so being okay with that process. And that's, I think, one thing I've learned in this is more, I was so focused on the destination and not the process of getting there anymore, even though that's how life has always played out, right? Why did you forget that? You know, but I just find it interesting lessons that we need to continue to learn and hone and all that good stuff.
So, yeah. I love that you're saying that, because it's so much about not looking for the destination, not trying to get somewhere, but it's just about enjoying where we are right now, even if we want to get somewhere. How do we enjoy the ride? Yeah. That's the point. Like, when are we ever going to get anywhere, right? Like, let's say I want to earn such and such amount of money. Is that where it ends? No, the moment I earn it, I'm going to see what's next and what else do I want and how can I get more of that? So it's like never living for some kind of a future purpose or for tomorrow, but it's just living for today. Of course, with having a vision in mind of what that means. And I also work with coaches, so it's really fun to be able to support coaches to build their business, to find their, you know, their way, their voice, their particular essence, which is so different, and understanding how beautiful it is that we might be doing something which there's lots more of us, but every one of us has such a unique voice and style. So every one of us will find whoever resonates with that and whoever fits that kind of offer. And then also it's so much easier to live a life that is not, you know, in competition with anyone or anything, and not trying to get more of whatever it is. So just appreciating what you have, appreciating life as it is, finding the things to appreciate.
And owning who you are in all this journey, I think. That's what I heard. And, you know, appreciation and knowing that you are one of a kind and your people are out there. So to keep going and, you know, working with creatives, it's like, oh, but my, you know, that comparison trap. And it's like, no, it's still yours. And so I think that's, you know, key to keep living an authentic life and one that you align with, you know, so that you can look back at 70 and be proud of the steps that you took and the things you did and the things you tried, all of it.
Exactly. I want myself and anyone I care about to live life as if every day matters in a way that when I will be 70, I will be able to look back and be super, super proud and content with what I did and who I am. This is how I'm living my life. And this is how I want people who work with me or live by my side to live their life. It's it's an incredible gift and opportunity that I feel that we have developed, our generation developed, which our parents and ancestors did not really have an opportunity to develop. They were too busy surviving. They were too busy building life in a sense that we will never understand. And they gave us this opportunity and gift to be able to take more time to discover and to connect who we really are. And that's really special.
Yeah, it's a gift for sure. So much fun talking to you.
And thank you for this opportunity.
All that sharing all your story and what you've learned. I think it's important to hear other people's stories so that we can, you know, glean information from that and just also find those connecting points so we don't feel so alone as we're living this creative life and trying out different things. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And thank you for, you know, closing with that, because we are not alone. And that is so important because we all need a tribe. Every person needs their tribe. And and it's possible. It's possible to find the tribe and it's possible to live the life that you really want. It might be difficult. It might take time, but it's possible. You might need help in order to get there, but it's possible. And that's what I probably want any listener to come out with from this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't give up. Live the life and dream.
Yeah, for sure. So if people wanted to connect with you, how can they find you? Where do you like to hang out?
Well, I kind of hang out everywhere, a little bit here, a little bit there. But, you know, you can find me on LinkedIn. My full name is Adi Nevo, A-D-I-N-E-V-O. I have a really tiny website that's adinevo.coach, which I'm still working on. It takes me a long time, even though my marketing background, it takes me a really long time to actually, you know, figure out kind of like my branding and my website. And I think that is because I'm also really allowing myself to shift and change with whatever is coming up, right? So, so it's hard for me to define myself for a web page.
Yeah.
How do I look like if I want to speak with managers about emotional intelligence? And how do I look like if I want to speak with 70-year-old women to be able to give them a workshop of sound healing and aromatherapy and coaching, right? So it's so different. And I'm all of that. And I love being all of that. And I encourage people to be all of what they want to be. So this is where you can find me. And of course, Instagram and Facebook. So again, Adi Nevo. And Instagram, it's Nevo Adi Zakai. That's my name. And then you can, I don't know, you can
I'll edit put it in the show notes.
And I would love to connect with anyone and, you know, support in any way, if it's even just to send a list of, let's say, recommended, you know, books, podcasts, articles about different topics like fulfillment and values and life purpose and imposter syndrome and emotional intelligence and all those things that we all kind of experience one way or another in life. So whatever it is, just shoot me a note and I'll very, very happily share it with you.
Thanks. That's very kind. And I know it would be of help as people continue to navigate this world, because it is so many things to sort through, work through, process. So so thanks for leading the way with that.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to, you know, share my story.
Yeah, thank you. Great. I can't thank you enough for listening to these podcast episodes and supporting the work that I'm doing here. If you can think of anybody that could benefit from the conversation I just had, please go ahead and forward that to them. If you are on Apple Podcasts, a review would be much appreciated, or a follow on Spotify is how I can continue to get the word out about the work that I'm doing here. If you would like more support and encouragement throughout your week, you can find me on Instagram at A Creative Purpose. And I would also like to drop into your email box with some more insights and encouragement throughout your weeks. And you can do that at naomigeidel.com. Until next time, go serve the world as only you can.